This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. The one thing all children have in common is their rights. Every child has the right to survive and thrive, to be educated, to be free from violence and abuse, to participate and to be heard. Those were the words of Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. And yes, it's Universal Children's Day. Nestled in a town in Kitasaku District, Nagano Prefecture, Japan, is Karuizawa, which hosts the International School of Asia, Karuizawa, or ISAC, which is Japan's only fully residential international high school, with a mission to create transformational leaders for the greater good of Asia and beyond. I'm here with the principal, Roderick Jemison, to talk us through its plans. Nice to be speaking to you, Roderick. And the founder of the school, Lynn Kobayashi, is quite a dynamic woman, having been awarded Young Global Leader by the World Economic Forum and Changemaker of the Year by Nikkei Business, among other accolades. What was or is the landscape in Japan for her to start the school in the first place?
Thanks so much for having me this morning. I really appreciate it. Isaac and Lynn started years and years ago with Lynn's real frustration and really want and need for a more open-minded, a way that students could really access and be empowered to change the world. And essentially throughout her childhood, she felt like she was not given that opportunity. And through exposure in overseas travel and education, found out that, when students are empowered, when they really believe they can make a difference, that's when change truly happens. And that's the real foundation for why Isaac is where it is today.
Right. So the school is not even 2 years, right?
Exactly.
Why were you intrigued to join from the comforts of San Diego?
The reason I joined was essentially the reason why we are where we're at today, because students like myself did not want to stay in our comfort zone. If you stay in your comfort zone, change never happens. I think the fear for all of us as human beings is when we see things are not within the way we want them or like them. And essentially, if you stay that way, the world does not change. It doesn't become better. And again, that's what Lynn really challenges us to do each and every day, is work with ourselves in a way that we're practicing our skills to really get better. And that's the same with me. You're right. I could have stayed in San Diego, a very beautiful, wonderful spot. But I knew I wanted to become a better person, a better leader. And I knew Isaac would challenge me to be that way.
Right. And how differently are the children educated?
Yeah, it simply starts with empowering them to believe they have a voice, to believe that they can make a difference. I always say at our school, each and every day, Frida, we ask our students what is most important and what they care about. I think the second step to that is not only being aware of what they care about and what's important, but actually then taking action, encouraging them to take action. I think many schools listen to students, but I don't think many schools encourage students to be aware and then take action and then follow up on implementing those ideas. And that's what we do at ISAC. And that's why I think we're really a different place. And we're going to have a chance to mold some really wonderful transformational leaders.
Right. Now, it's currently from year 10 to year 12. Is there a reason why these years were selected?
Yeah. This is the great thing. Another really wonderful thing about ISAC is that we are also supported by the Japanese government. And so in the tradition of Japanese education, where the elementary school's years are 6 years, the junior high school years are 3 years, and the high school years are 3 years, we follow that method. And so when students graduate from ISAC, not only do they receive an IB diploma, but they also receive a Japanese high school diploma, which will allow international students to be eligible to enter a Japanese university. No other international school in Japan has that type of system.
Right. So from year 10 to year 12, are there plans to expand this to, I guess for younger years?
It's funny you ask that, because Lynn's original plan was to really start a junior high school. And she felt like if you could start this process at the junior high school level, you know, kind of the seventh, eighth, and ninth, you would have more of an impact. What has been a challenge is changing the laws of Japanese requirements for student visas. But I never put anything against Lynn in terms of she's working on that now. And so maybe in the next couple of years, you may see an Isaac Junior High School.
All right. Now, what's the student ratio of locals and overseas students?
Right now, we have 98 students, and we want that ratio to be 70% international and 30% Japanese. So next year, when we're fully enrolled at 150 students, 50 students per class, we would want somewhere about 105 international students and 45 Japanese students.
Right. And most of the overseas students, are they from Asia largely?
Yes, yes. Our real focus, and again, Lynn's real focus is with Isaac's main priority, is that Asia will continue to be a major player in the financial world, the cultural world, medically, all the different areas in our existence today. And because of that, we knew many of the next leaders in this world would come from this region. Therefore, the focus is on Asia. However, we do currently have students from the U.S., Europe, different other different regions. It's just smaller in number.
Right. You know, is it easy for the local students to pick it up because I guess it's being conducted in English?
Yes. Here's another concept that we hang our hats on at Isaac. We are an English-based school, which is kind of unique, obviously, being in Japan. But we actually really look for students who are motivated, who are excited to be a part of Isaac. We feel like the language is one of the least challenges that most students have, that if they can come in with the attitude, with the excitement, with the determination to really absorb and embrace our mission and vision, the language through all kinds of resources that we have here at school, we can work with a student in that light.
Right. You know, why is it important for local students to be part of the mix? And is this something where, you know, Lynn's vision to make the Japanese a little bit more global in their outlook?
You're exactly right. You know, Lynn felt that twofold, that bringing in international students to, you know, the Japanese society and culture, especially as it applies to education, was essentially one way of globalizing this particular, you know, country. And she felt that's going to be very important as Japan moves on. If it wants to be a major player, it cannot continue to be isolated and believe that it's only about the Japanese culture and people. And that's one way to allow international students to study here. Additionally, allowing more Japanese students, especially the traditional Japanese student who's had little access to overseas travel, little access or interaction with foreigners, to come to a school like this would allow those individuals, those Japanese students, to really open their minds to this wonderful world. Whether they stay in Japan or not for the future, they would have that experience and be able to, you know, continue to move Japan forward.
I'm speaking to Roderick Jemison, the principal of the International School of Asia, Karuizawa. We'll talk about how students are selected after this in Race a Game, BFM 89.9. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Race a Game. It's Universal Children's Day. I'm here with the principal of the International School of Asia, Karuizawa, or ISAC, Roderick Jemison. We're talking about the school and how this is not 2 years yet, but it's Japan's only fully residential international high school with a mission to create transformational leaders for the greater good of Asia and beyond. Interesting mix of 65% what's the ratio between locals and foreigners again?
It's 70% international and 30% Japanese.
This is too early in the morning. Now, how are the students selected, local and overseas students? How are they expected?
Frida, it's a very thorough process. You know, when we were putting together the admissions team and what we wanted to do to attract the best students, and best students doesn't always mean academically. We've, in the last couple of years, had some straight-A students apply to Isaac, but because they were not really articulating clearly why they wanted to be a part of this school as far as the mission and vision, why they believed they had the potential to be a transformational leader and realize their potential, we actually rejected some students. So our process is very thorough. It's very much like a college university application. Students fill out, in-depth essay questions. They're asked for two letters of recommendation from their teachers. We ask them for their transcripts. We ask them to take a standardized test. Mm. After that, the initial stage, if they pass, then there's an interview we have with the students, 30-minute Skype. Mm. If you're an international applicant, usually you're doing a Skype or Google Hangout call. If you are a domestic Japanese student, we have in-person interviews in Tokyo, two weekends out of the month in February. And then we make a selection. One of the unique things, again, about our application process, our faculty are intimately involved in reading the applications of the students. So we really feel like our teachers who will be sitting in the classroom with these students and exchanging ideas really should play a major role in selecting them.
Right. And I understand there was a summer school as well. Is that as stringent?
Well, no. And it's really interesting because the summer school that has been running for the last 2016 will be the seventh year, has been the foundation for the school, Frida. Mm. And years ago, when the ideas came up, we started out with about 34 students. Now we're up to 80 students representing 45 countries throughout the world. And the summer school application, which will be available December 1st, is simply an essay. And then if you pass the essay, you go to the interview. So a lot less rigorous, but the demands and the expectations of really identifying why you want to be at ISAAC are the same.
All right. You know, so currently with the international school scene in Japan, it's strictly for foreigners only.
No, it has been for both domestic students and international students. But usually what happens is in this particular region is that most of the international schools are attracting Japanese students who have either spent time overseas or have had some type of interaction locally. We've stayed away from that. We think our school is a school for any student who embraces the mission and vision.
All right. Now, ISAAC is looking at becoming a UWC school. What's UWC?
UWC is the United World College. Right. It's a movement that's been going on for many, many years, has produced some of the world's greatest leaders. And ISAAC feels like in collaboration with UWC, it becomes an even stronger institution.
The founder of BFM is from UWC.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
And obviously, Lynn's a UWC graduate, too. So UWC Pearson. So that has its kind of foundation there.
Ah. Now, yeah. I understand the students are also encouraged to do community service. What do they do and why is that important?
Yeah, you know, Frida, years ago when I came to ISAAC, one of the things that Lynn and I talked about, institutions throughout the world, high schools, sometimes use a barometer of success being college admissions, acceptances. They also use maybe how much money they raise on a year-to-year basis. Lynn and I were very clear that one of the barometers of success at ISAAC will be if our students, can make an impact in the local community and beyond. And so that, first and foremost, has always been a very focal point of our school. Students on a day-to-day basis are interacting with the local elementary schools and doing English classes. Mm. They're doing sports activities. We have students working with local farmers, Frida, picking vegetables and bringing them back to the cafeteria to eat, which is always healthy and nourishing. We also have we're located, as you say, in a wonderful, wonderful environment that we want to protect it and make sure it lives long past the lives that we have on Earth. So we have students really looking at the local environment and how we can preserve the particular trees, all the things that are here. We have a mountain right behind us, and so there's a lot of scientific research we ask our students to do. And then another way currently we're working with the local elderly homes and doing great support for the people here in Karizawa and throughout.
All right. You know, I guess no one's been through year 12 yet, but what do you hope to see when the students, you know, with the first batch of students finishing year 12?
Yeah. It's that whole idea of we really want them to realize their potential and know that they have one life and that they're catalysts for positive change. And so for many of our students, I would say, you know, they're going to go on to wonderful colleges and universities throughout the world. Right now, it seems like a majority are kind of looking to the U.S. For opportunities, but we certainly have many students who are wanting to return to their native land in Kuala Lumpur, Bangkok, and go to universities there, which we think are really important. I think eventually what we want our students to recognize is no matter how large or small their impact is, that they're all leaders. That you don't have to be a doctor or CEO of a famous company or politician. We believe leadership is not a position. It's a person who decides that they want to make a difference in this world, and whatever way they can do it, they're looking to do it and are excited and enthusiastic about it.
All right. What's your vision 10 years from now, these students who would have graduated and come out and done things, what do you hope to see?
You know, it's so funny you asked that question because last year I was posed that question and I think I shocked the students a little bit when I gave them my vision. But it's simply this, and I really stand by it today. You know, 10 years from now, whether I'm here or not at ISAAC, the exciting thing I want to happen is that out of our first 48 students, that at least 10 of them are teachers at ISAAC. And one of them is the head of school.
Right. Okay. Taking on your job.
Exactly. I think it'll be time for somebody to take over for me and continue this legacy that we hope will last forever. That's for sure.
All right. Thanks for being with us. I've been speaking to the principal of the International School of Asia, Karizawa or ISAAC, Roderick Jemison. It is in Universal Children's Day. This is Raise a Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.